This is The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. And to get a sense of what's going on inside Libya in the aftermath of the release of Abdel Basset Ali al-Maghrabi, who was released from a Scottish prison to return home to Libya. You may recall that Maghrabi is the convicted Lockerbie bomber. We're talking to Rana Jawad, North Africa correspondent for the BBC. Rana, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, react, if you could, to this. This is the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice, who describes how offensive the release of Maghrabi and his reception in Libya has been to people in the United States.
This is a very raw and sensitive subject for all Americans. And how President Gaddafi chooses to comport himself when he attends the General Assembly and the Security Council in New York has the potential either to further aggravate those feelings and emotions or not.
Rana Jawad, we've been told that the reception for Maghrabi in Libya was warm, if not a hero's reception. What was it, from the perspective of someone actually inside Libya? And is there much talk in the reporting inside Libya of Muammar Gaddafi's impending trip to the United States to attend the UN General Assembly?
Well, I think there's no doubt the perspective seen from the West was that of a hero's welcome for al-Maghrabi when he arrived to Tripoli. But as far as the Libyans are concerned, they saw it as quite a normal reception. The officials have said that, a lot of the people that were there were belonging to a youth organization or association that were also marking Saif al-Islam, Colonel Gaddafi's son's reform policies, and the rest of the crowd consisted of his tribe, of Maghrabi's tribe, and they said, they tried to control it, but they couldn't. However, knowing, Libya and how things work here, spontaneous gatherings don't exactly take place on a regular basis here, so clearly there was a lot of control on who was allowed onto the tarmac to greet him. Now, and as far as Colonel Gaddafi's upcoming trip to New York for the UN General Assembly, it's not been reported on locally in news outlets here. It's all state-controlled media. They don't usually preview visits of that kind. But obviously, there's a lot of talk about it. Clearly, there's a lot of concern coming out of the United States as to what Colonel Gaddafi may or may not say at that meeting, because he is due to deliver a speech right after President Obama does. And, Colonel Gaddafi does have a tendency to go off on a tangent, if you will, when he speaks, particularly when addressing a large crowd. His speeches are never scripted. He likes to inject a long history lesson, if you like, into whatever topic he's handling. So come the end of September, when the UN General Assembly convenes, it's all up in the air. I don't see how anyone can control what is said.
Rana Jawad, quickly before we go, certainly Gaddafi has benefited from the release of nuclear information and the discontinuation of the nuclear program that happened during the Bush administration. Any sense that he's worried about losing this sense of being embraced by the world leaders, the international community? Any sense that he's worried that he could have a setback here?
I don't think that there's any sense of worry, because as far as the Libyans are concerned, they know they are an oil and gas-rich country. They feel that they have the upper hand in the negotiating process in that sense.
Well, having the upper hand because being an oil producer, that's certainly the face value argument. Rana Jawad, the North Africa correspondent for the BBC. Thanks so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.